Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
High atop the San Francisco skyline, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
So when's game 8? I mean, let's just keep going, right? That's how much fun that was. No? You don't want to keep going? You want to end it right there and go back to the NBA Finals? Well, all right then. Wow. Wow. Game 6 was unbelievable. Game 7 lived up to the hype. It was a low-scoring defensive battle that the Warriors ended up winning in the second half after turning things around, being down at halftime. That's just as sexy as it gets. That's as sexy as it gets. That's basketball, Western Conference Finals, sex. That's what that was, and it felt good. I liked it. I want to do more. Let's have more. Let's have it with LeBron coming up this Thursday night. Game 1 of the NBA Finals is going to be here. We've got a ton to talk about. We are going to get you ready today with friends. How about these for friends stopping on by the show? Let's start with our friend Dan Dibbley, no doubt.
Yeah, Damon Bruce, happy Monday, happy Tuesday.
We are canceling the Tuesday trifecta today, Dan, not because we don't like the Tuesday trifecta, but because I totally forgot to prepare it.
Ooh.
Because it's... feels like a Monday.
It does.
It's a feels like a Monday Tuesday.
Okay.
Here in the Bay Area. It really does. Hopefully you had a nice Memorial Day. Spent a little time appreciating what Memorial Day is. And then you got into a juicy, juicy day of sports. I know that Sharks fans aren't feeling terrific about the game one loss. But much like the game in St. Louis, this is not a series you're out of. That was a close game. That was well played. That was hotly contested. And all the things that you were confident about going into game one, you should be confident about going into game two. But speaking of friends stopping by the show today, along with Dan, we got Ethan Sherwood Strauss in an hour from now talking Warrior Hoops. We got Tony Bruno giving life advice and Warrior Hoops. We got Harrison Barnes at 5 o'clock joining us to talk Warrior Hoops. John Morosi normally comes on by to talk baseball, but like Susan Slusser, he's been reassigned to the Stanley Cup Final, and we will talk to John Morosi about the Sharks and the Penguins at 6 o'clock before, like Dan said, we get you out to a little dugout show, A's Baseball, coming up tonight. We will have a post-Game of Thrones at 3:45, and about 40 minutes from right now, we'll recap last night's episode. It was a good one. Lots about to pop off in Westeros. Before we get to the NBA Finals, before we start the preview game that every show is going to be playing, that every program, that every blogger, that everyone on the internet will be having you click away on, can we just not gloss over what happened? That was an all-time, I'm talking all-time big boy Western Conference Finals that is as good as any series of basketball I've seen play out. It's one of the greatest sporting events in Bay Area history. Not just Game 7, not just Game 6. The whole thing was unbelievable the way it all played out. You come back from down 3-1 against that? That's a good team. That is a really, really good basketball team. Game 7. Game 7 was a ratings juggernaut. It is the highest rated cable game in the history of the NBA. So needless to say, the Warriors got everybody's attention. And we all know that LeBron holds everybody's attention. There's going to be a lot of attention paid coming up to the finals, and rightfully so. It's a matchup that's got so many storylines. There are so many storylines that open up and came to a close with the result of last night. What the Thunder do now and next, what Kevin Durant does now and next, is going to affect the immediate NBA future. The future for the Golden State Warriors couldn't be any brighter. They set out, really, I think, with two primary missions this year. They wanted to beat the Bulls' all-time wins record. They got that. Now they want to repeat as champions, and they're in position to do that. It's an extraordinary year, an extraordinary team. The legacies that are still alive now, the legend, the lore of coming back from 3-1 down in the Western Conference Finals just makes it all juicier. I'll tell you, I'd rather go to the finals coming off of a series like this than off of the series and playoff run that the Cavaliers are coming in off of. Dan, there's a huge difference this time around in the finals coming up. You know, the Cavaliers are a healthier basketball team.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving is playing spectacular. They got matchup problems. Kevin Love is dialed back in on his career. J.R. Smith is hitting threes regularly, which makes him a lot different than normal J.R. Smith. Tyronn Lue, whether he deserves the credit or not, has kind of calmed that locker room down. And if LeBron is happier with Tyronn Lue, then he's the right coach. Although I got to tell you, I think David Blatt's got him in the exact same situation that they're in right now. I think they're sitting pretty in the finals before the Western team gets there. And that's what would have happened with Blatt. When I really think about the biggest differences between the two teams this year, the Warriors experienced this, that, the other thing. The biggest difference, I think, going into this, you're going to hear so much about how better the Cavs are. And they're right. Cavs are better. Cavs are locked, loaded, ready to go. They're a good basketball team. The biggest difference, I think, is Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is a killer, boys and girls. He is a killer now. Klay Thompson is here for your women and your children and your money and everything you got. Klay Thompson is an assassin. He's not Steph's buddy. He's not Batman and Robin. These are two Avengers, both very dangerous. He's a killer. Oh, it's like watching somebody grow up right in front of your eyes. You saw it all season long. The more confident coming off of an NBA All-Star appearance. The, hey, Klay Thompson, he's feeling it. He's got a championship now. He's got it under his belt. He's got a little more swagger to him. Klay, when you hear him talk, he's a little bit more confident. He's a little bit more mature. He's a little bit this. He's a little bit that. He's the best two-way player. No, he's not. Let's talk about James Harden still. Let's not. Klay's a killer. His game six, Dan, is one of the all-time, if you got him, throw him on the table, stone-cold killer, 11 threes in an elimination game on the road performance.
Incredible. 30-footer to die for.
Go! Basketball sex, I'm telling you. It was incredible. Klay's a killer. I mean, I expect to see pictures of Klay Thompson in a post office. Put him on America's top 10 list, this killer. His game six was insane. The entire Western Conference Finals, if you think about it, was insane. The talent that the Thunder go home with is considerable. That's a very good basketball team. I know there's a lot of people talking about, well, who choked it away, this, that. Hey, sometimes you get beat. Sometimes you got to take the champ out in order to be the champ. And they didn't do it. You're looking for the Achilles heel in game seven? It was when they lost game six. Thunder had to close that out at home. I think they knew it in their heart, too. But they were good enough to come out, play the better first half of basketball. And then the Warriors came out of the halftime, and they were more dialed in. They played great defense, holding the Thunder to 12 points, and Klay Thompson decided to go full 12-county axe murderer on them. Killer! It was awesome. Klay Thompson would be a great Game of Thrones character. Klay from the House Thompson. His weapon is a dagger, and he buries it in your heart regularly. Killer. And I think he is going to get the Warriors past the Cleveland Cavaliers, along with his teammates, in about six games. It feels right to me. 888-957-9570. You just saw history. Warrior fans, Clay's a killer. The finals are upon you. What say you? 888-957-9570. Lines are open right now. We got plenty of hockey coming up. It was unfortunate. Really, Gary Bettman, what are you doing? Making sure that your game one goes off on a possible game 7 day for the NBA. Gary Bettman, what are you doing? Sharks are still okay, though. We got Ethan at 4 o'clock. A post-Game of Thrones coming up a little later this hour. Can't wait to hear from you. The Warriors are in the NBA Finals coming off history. Clay's a killer.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
What Clay did that night, basically putting us on his shoulders and allowing us to have this opportunity tonight at home. Pretty remarkable comeback, and shows, I think, a lot about our guys and their will and their grit.
Positive when you have your owner going full Wayne's World on his knees. Joe Lacob was on his knees in front of Klay Thompson after Game 6's unbelievable performance that gives him a Game 7. And I heard, Dan, like a $40 million week coming up. That's what the Warriors stand to make in terms of ticket sales, attention, revenue. If eyeballs mean money these days, they're going to have a lot of eyeballs turned on them. The merch that they're about to sell, what they would be able to sell if they went on to repeat, the amount of legacy that's on the line here, the jersey sales, all of it could be like $40 million.
Wow, just for making the finals.
You know, I was talking with our pal Larry Beal from KG. Oh, and, you don't think he's got a dog in the fight? He's sitting there saying, all right, so we either get the NBA Finals and the Warriors pulling down like a 30 share, or we don't. Like, KGO? ABC is doing backflips over this. Look, it's the unless you are an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, this is the series that everyone wanted coming up here in the NBA Finals. The amount of money, though, that's standing. No wonder why Lacob was on his knees. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Did you see the end of that footage where he's high-fiving people and he, like, I think it was one of Lacob's kids standing there?
Was that Kurt Lacob? Was that Kurt?
I think it's the
shined?
Other son, the younger son. He puts his hand up and he gets just straight dissed by Clay.
It's tough. Look, you never want to be on the non-receiving end of the high five move. It's impossible to play off. Like, you can do the whole, like, hand through your hair thing, but everyone knows what just happened. You know, I don't think you got to blame the guy. Like, it shouldn't be the cause of shame that it people attach to it. It's like the guy who gets dunked on, Dan. There's nothing wrong with being posterized. I don't think we should talk about the guy getting posterized. We should talk about the other four guys who aren't even on back playing defense, not even in the poster.
True. Like Draymond got posterized by Steven Adams in Game 6.
He lived to tell the tale.
He did.
You cannot get posterized unless you're trying to do something. Like, there's way too much shame. There's posterization shame out there in the world. Forget about the guy getting posterized. He's back trying to play. They should put the four other guys in a poster.
I'm sorry, but no one's buying that poster of four dudes standing around. It's not as exciting.
It's not as a good
that
poster.
That poster's not selling.
It's not selling.
I like your angle, though, but I don't think the poster's going to sell.
The world's least interesting poster.
Four guys not playing defense.
Like Sports Illustrated back in the day. See, there used to be this thing called a magazine called Sports Illustrated, and you used to get it to learn about sports.
Every week.
When you were a kid, yeah. And they used to have the posters in the back. Like, I got my Ryan Sandberg, my Mark Grace, my Jerome Walton poster out of that. They were like Sports Illustrated action posters with the white frames around them. There'd be little action going on in the four guys who weren't back on defense poster. Looking at the scoreboard.
Right.
Like, you got, like, your team's... Next year on your team's yearbook, you got like four guys not paying attention in the team huddle as the cover of the yearbook. But look, that was just an amazing week of basketball, 2 weeks of basketball, whatever the hell we just all went through together. It was unbelievable. And Klay Thompson is just getting it done. He's a different guy now. We have expectations for Curry, and he's met them. And now we got a situation where, like, any way you want to measure it, the two best shooters in the world are both yours. There's only one guy breaking a three-point record for threes made in a series until it's the other guy on the same team. It's preposterous how good they were. Oh, by the way, Andre Roberson, Deion Waiters last night, 0 for 9 from the line. 0 for 9.
From the line?
Combined. Wow. From the three-point line.
Okay.
Not the charity stripe. Excuse me.
Gotcha.
Three-point line. Idris is in Hayward. What's going on, man? How are you?
Yo. Idris.
Am I on?
Well, yes. You were on, baby.
Hey, my people. Oh, my goodness. Yo, the Klay Thompson Massacre. Oh, my goodness. That's what I'm going to call it, the Klay Thompson Massacre. He came out. He chilled. Even when we were down, he chilled. But you know what? I got to give props to OKC. Wow. I have a different level of respect for them. Everybody's on their helmet right now. The toughest game is the closeout game, and they couldn't get it done. I'm glad they didn't. But, wow, words can't describe it. And LeBron says he wants the Warriors. We'll see what happens in 2 weeks if he really wants the Warriors.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, he debated what value was when Curry got his MVP. Well, he's about to get a taste of it now, and this is going to be – it's going to, I think, probably eclipse all viewing records. I mean, that's what we're looking at here. The whole world didn't tune in to watch Game 7 to tune out for Game 1 of the Finals. Now, you really want ratings bonanza? You got to go 7 games like this just did. That's insane. I don't think this is going to go 7 games. I really like the Warriors' chances, and it's not because we're here. It's because, look, I think there's an awful lot to be said for the fact that the Golden State Warriors, according to Las Vegas, are the overwhelming favorite to win the series. They're only a 5-point favorite in Game 1, but they're an overwhelming favorite to win the series. What that really means to me is that Vegas, who of course is putting a number down so people bet on both sides of that number, it's not trying to be a predictor, but I think Vegas has just sent a clear message that the road that the Cavaliers traveled to reach this point, it's a lot less impressive than what the Warriors just went through, and that is going to be a big difference. The reason why you're oohing and aahing and going like, oh, but the Cleveland Cavaliers are playing the best basketball they've ever played is because, one, they are. Two, you can only really beat the teams that are in front of you, and they mollywop some teams in front of them. That's what you got to go out and do. But look at what the Warriors have been doing. The Warriors have been ramming their head against the wall since the All-Star game. They are ready to go. And they just survived Terror Dome. Like, they're battle-tested. They're the champs. You want to take it from them? Here's your chance, Cleveland. Here is your chance.
You know, if it does go Game 7 would be Father's Day, Sunday the 19th, is the same day, traditionally, as the U.S. Open concluding.
Oh, that's too much.
I know you're not a huge golf guy, but you will watch the majors.
Of course. I love the U.S.
And
Open.
And the U.S. Open traditionally ends on Father's Day, so yes. You'd have the Open ending right into a Game 7 tip. Wow.
That's like
yesterday.
It's like, stop, too sexy.
Yesterday was too much.
It was almost too much sports.
Too much for me and my poor liver. My poor liver.
Liver.
My lover was fine. My liver, not so much. Score this one for the alcohol. Yes.
I mean, it's just, it was an incredible day. But for about a 90-minute period, it was almost like too much sports. I didn't think there was a too much sports scenario. We tested that yesterday.
Yeah.
Let's go to Sheldon in the city. What's up, Sheldon?
Nothing much, man. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Yeah, man. I wanted to bring a little humor to the show.
Oh, what? I'm not bringing enough humor to the show? Dan's not doing enough?
Nah, a little bit more, you know, because an idea came to my mind when you was talking about how Clay broke the record with the three-pointers and things like that.
Yeah.
And so I know, like, you do the Game of Thrones thing or the, I forgot the segment's name.
Yeah, post-Game of Thrones, coming up at 3:45. Thanks for the forward promotion.
Yeah. So an idea came to mind. I know this ain't going to happen, but if you've ever seen Lord of the Rings, they had this little part in the movie where the elf and the dwarf, they used to battle for who could get the most kills in the game or in the movie or whatever, and then they would compete. So I'm like, man, Clay and Curry in the finals against the Cavs, they should just compete to see who can get the most threes, and they should just both just be going crazy.
Well, and you can even call it Lord of the Rings too, because they're out there trying to win a ring, right. So that kind of works. I think they're called hobbits, right? Like hobbits and trolls. I'm not a big Lord of the Ring guy, but
right.
You know, yeah. I mean, they're putting together a body count, but they're not killing people. They're killing you from downtown. There's never been anything like this that any other coach has ever had to work with or coach against. It depends on how you're looking. If you're Steve Kerr, you've never had weapons like this. No coach ever has. If you're trying to coach against it. Do you realize where you have to guard the Warriors, where you have to start picking up Klay and Curry now, goes against where you should be defensively, where you've been coached to be defensively your entire life? You are out in land you've never been in before.
From protect the rim to protect the gym.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Let's write that one down.
You should write that one down. That sounds like it would be good on a T-shirt, man. More phone calls, more good ideas for T-shirts, and a post-Game of Thrones coming up at 3:45.
Yes.
I already know and feel you complaining, like, well, so much going on in sports. Why post-Game of Thrones? Because there's so much going on in Westeros, too. And we will keep a little tradition alive. Stick around. Much more still on the way. Ethan Sherwood Strauss at 4 o'clock. Harrison Barnes at 5 o'clock. Today on The Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show. 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
By the way, we got a lot of information coming in on the Mordor text line. It was indeed a dwarf in the elf that made the body count bet. I did not know that, so pardon me for interjecting. It might have been a hobbit.
Hobbit's not big killers.
We want to be correct here. We want to be accurate. Post Game of Thrones coming up at 3:45. Get ready. Pretty good episode to go over. Right now, we got a lot of people waiting patiently. We're going to get to you in just a second. But first, bring your wallet if you want to get to game one of the NBA Finals. We did a little searching on StubHub before we hopped on the air today. If you want to sit in the courtside club, so that's like the first, I don't know, 10 rows of the lower bowl. First 10 rows of the lower bowl.
$80, maybe 85.
You're looking at $5,000 each. $5,000 a ticket. You want a pair? That's 10. So basically, courtside. You want to be in those first two rows? You want to say you sat courtside for game one of the NBA Finals?
$150 a ticket.
You're starting at $9,000, Dan.
No. $9,000?
$9,000. You're starting at $9,000. Now, if you really want the choice, you want the VIP courtside, talking $30,000 for Uno ticket.
Do you get the club to take home with you?
I would, jeez.
$30,000?
You think you'd get home to take home like three cheerleaders for $30,000?
Seriously.
Like, I mean, that is an awful lot of money. I understand, you know, there's an awful lot of money here in the Bay Area, but my goodness, $30,000 to sit in a choice courtside seat.
They come with free parking at least?
No.
By the way, no.
Your get-in price The I'm a normal guy, just want to get in the building, willing to take the last ticket in the upper deck. I will sit with my back to the wall. The only thing behind me is the damn banner type of guy. Your get-in price actually isn't as bad as I thought it would be.
$400?
$524.
Oh.
$524 will get you in the building. This is not with a pair of tickets. This is one lonely ticket. But $524 gets you in the gym. You're not sitting in the lower bowl for less than a grand. It's just that simple.
Right.
You are not hitting the lower bowl for the remainder of everything we got left in front of us for $1,000.
So if you got a swipe right situation and maybe you have a little date ski that you want to bring in there, you're looking at a $1,050 minimum, $1,100.
Oh, this isn't just a swipe right. This is you bring someone you really care about.
Okay.
This is not a first couple of dates game.
Craigslist?
This is a we're deeply in love game. You take a buddy, you take a family member. This is not a third date sporting event.
I did take the woman of my dreams last year to game two.
Does your wife know about it?
She met her there. They met up. They lost. They lost. That's lost.
The one game you... Yeah.
OT lost. Sucked.
Good job, Dan.
Tried to get my money back. Didn't work out very well.
It's no refunds?
Nope.
Let's go to Larry here in the city. What's going on, Larry? How are you?
Hey, guys, what's going on, man? Hey, listen, I got one coming on the game 6 and 7, right?
Go.
Game 6, I would call that, you heard of the Thompson machine gun, right?
Yes.
So we got Thompson, the Thompson bullseye.
Yeah, I mean, I believe the Thompson machine gun was the star of the Valentine's Day massacre, so it's appropriate.
Right, and then in game 7, he missed his first 7 shots. You know, the target was moving, right?
Yes.
So all of a sudden, he got his bullseye out, and guess what? He hits the next 4 shots. And for his Oklahoma had to do is, good night, drive home safely. With that, I'm out.
Thank you very much. Look at Larry spiking the phone on the way out of the door.
He was efficient.
He felt confident with that call. I like it. Nick in Berkeley. What do you got, Nick?
Yeah, I just want to say that it was really great to see Deion Waiters, who was really like throwing a party every time he made a shot the first few games to go 0-9. That was tremendous karma. And then also, why was Durant and Westbrook, as good as they are, whining to the referees nearly since game 1 through game 6 until Durant finally got a technical? Like, because the ref was like, dude, you've been stalking me for 6 games. Like, they were just whining.
You know, look, I'm not going to say anything bad about the Thunder's on-court demeanor or anything they did in this series right up until about 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And then you saw them start. You saw the team that spit up more leads in the NBA come back and remind you that they were indeed that same team. You saw their lack of composure. We got Harrison Barnes coming up at 5 o'clock today. I'll ask him if he felt the moment that we were all seeing, too. I think for fans who are watching it on TV last night, Reggie Miller even brought up the fact, like, bad body language right now by the Thunder. This is a critical time, and there's a lot more finger-pointing than kumbaya-ing going on, and that doesn't lead to victory, usually on the road in a Game 7 like this. Bernie Sanders was there last night.
I saw that.
Feel the burn. He was with Danny Glover. It actually looked like... It looked like they were recasting Mel Gibson with Bernie Sanders, and it was going to be the worst Lethal Weapon movie ever.
Lethal Weapon 28?
Yeah.
They take the rest home by storm?
They're definitely too old for this bleep. Seriously, I'm like, forget about Bernie Sanders. Roger Murtaugh is in the building. Chewy's in Oakland. What do you got, Chewy?
Yeah. Taking my call, man. First, I like to say, man, Bernie Sanders, he's a man. He really came out to Oakland and showed us some support in the city of Oakland.
It was cool that he came out. It really did.
Yeah, it was cool. Man, it looked pretty dope, man, especially seeing it on TV. And especially he came out in the hood, man. He came by 66, and that was crazy.
Nice. So that gets you some credit.
Anyway, I would like to say, I like to compare Klay Thompson. I was watching this Robin Hood, the old school Robin Hood Disneyland movie. And I like to compare them. It's a Little John and Robin Hood. That's a little, you know, Little John. He's a big bear.
Exactly. So the Disney Robin Hood with the fox playing Robin Hood is what you're referencing. Yeah. This isn't Kevin Costner Robin Hood.
Yeah. Yep. The old school in the '80s.
I love that.
No, '70s. It was in the '70s. I think it was '70s. That one.
Let's be totally honest. The fox that played Maid Marian was kind of hot, wasn't she?
Like, she was hot.
Thank you very much.
Maid Marian.
You know what you call her? You call her Foxy.
I like the way they robbed Little John, and that's the Thunder. They robbed him smooth, right up under their head.
Took it from them. They thought they had it in the barn. They let it get out of their barn. It was in their barn. The closeout game in Game 6. You cannot give a champ second life. You really, really can't. Spartacus calling from Phoenix. How are you, Spartacus?
Hey, Damon. How's it going?
Hey, your Mets pitching, huh? Not bad.
Hey. And they're not even all healthy and back yet.
There you go. Be excited. What do you got for us? Hey.
The finals. I think the Warriors' biggest advantage is their bench, because their bench is eons better than Cleveland. Now, the thing with that is the same with the OKC series. They can't get down by 15 points at halftime, because that defeats the whole purpose of your advantage of the bench. Because if you keep it close, they'll either have to rest LeBron and those other guys at some point, and that's where the advantage kicks in. So that's one key to the thing.
I wish the Warriors would. I mean, they make fantastic front runners, and give them credit. They had some come from behind basketball in this series. The Thunder led for most of the on court minutes in that series. So it's time for the Warriors to get back out front run a little bit, be up by 10 at halftime, and see how much easier this gets.
Right, and the one thing that does worry me is where Draymond stands on the point system for suspension, because you know that LeBron's going to go right at him and test that.
It won't even be LeBron. It'll be Matthew Dellavedova.
I think it'll be all of them, but somebody needs to get in his ear and tell him, you know, don't let them play you like that.
You know what? We've been saying it for 3 games, and give him credit. He just got through the last 3 games without that, so I guess that's a good sign, right?
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm thinking Warriors in 5 or 6.
Yeah, I like Warriors in 5 or 6. It sounds right about to me. It really does. Are you watching Game of Thrones? You a big Game of Thrones guy?
I don't watch it because we don't have HBO. But,
oh, my God. I do not have HBO. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I feel terrible for you and your family and the
Shame.
Way. Yeah, really.
Shame.
You know, HBO. God. You don't have HBO. God. I think, seriously, you said for the rest of your life, no HBO or left pinky.
I got 2 pinkies.
I think I'm counting to 9, and I'm watching Game of Thrones. That's why we will have post-Game of Thrones coming up next. And then right back to the sports, I promise you. We got Stanley Cup to talk about. The Sharks didn't get up the start that they wanted, but they are going to be in this sucker. 7 games. Write it down. Ethan Sherwood Strauss at 4 o'clock. Tony Bruno at 4:30. Harrison Barnes joins me at 5 o'clock. John Morosi at 6. We got Dan Dibley hanging out here. We've got a post-Game of Thrones coming up next. And one of the greatest Western Conference finals ever to keep on just talking about all day. That was spectacular. Stay tuned. Blood of my blood. That was the name of the episode last night. We're getting into it next. Post Game of Thrones only on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Dragons do not do well in captivity.
How do you know this?
That's what I do. I drink, and I know things.
Now.
My girl has been given a second chance.
On The Damon Bruce Show.
There will not be a third.
It's post game.
The real war is between the living and the dead.
Of Thrones.
And make no mistake. The dead are coming.
Last night's episode, Blood of My Blood. It's a pretty good one. It really was. Lots of old characters coming back into play in this episode. Let's hop right into it. And we pick up almost immediately where we left off of the Hodo episode. Mira running away from the White Walkers. Bran is still warging on the door or whatever they're dragging him on. And so he's like the new Third Eye Raven. And we're getting just tons of cutback and flashback scenes and flash forward scenes. Some of the stuff, Dan, we've seen before. Other stuff we haven't. Like, we see Ned Stark's beheading. Then we see, like, the Mad King and Jaime and cuts a wildfire. So, awful lot going on in that flashback sequence alone.
He's straight warging.
He's warging it, man. So, just when things are dire and they're about to die from the wildings that are not the wildings, but the White Walkers that are coming down on them, out of nowhere, a rider shows up. And for the second time this season, a rider shows up to save two people in the woods out of nowhere, which means George R.R. Martin's definitely not writing anymore and HBO's getting a little lazy. It's a little cheesy to have the rider out of nowhere save these two in the middle of the entire expanse behind the wall. He just happened to be there. Well, maybe it's because he is the new Third Eye Raven, Bran is. And we have new character alert, even though he's been referenced all the way back in the very first episode. Uncle Benjen Stark is the one who shows up to milk rabbit blood for warm Bran cocoa, I guess.
And good for all three meals.
There you go. So that is how they got out of that mess. We then go south of the wall. We got Sam and Gilly traveling to Sam's house, and he's loaded. He's in the Hillsborough of Westeros, Dan, making some money over there, right?
You can see he was eating well his whole life.
Definitely. He's nervous to meet his father, and we see why. The father is insulting him at dinner, saying that he's a fat loser, even though he's about to be a maester. Gilly, who, by the way, got a makeover.
Hello.
And looked good. Like, it's like the Swan on ABC.
Stock up, Gilly.
Gilly stock through the roof. She defends him, which makes the stock go up even more, you know. Says that, hey, your son's braver than you'll ever be. And then there are all kinds of bad feelings that come out at the dinner table because she's from north of the wall. And, well, they hate those types there, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of bigotry for the northerners. So Gilly basically throws down a this is going to be uncomfortable moment. It was uncomfortable. They get up from the table and leave. And they decide we just got to get out of the situation. So they steal the family sword, Heartsbane.
Valyrian steel.
Valyrian steel, exactly. The father swore he would never have it. He's got it now. He and Gilly and the baby are all leaving under the cover of the darkness of night.
Not thrilled with that whole plot line, but that was an interesting twist.
It was an interesting twist. They need to do something with those two. Do something.
Your boy needs to hit the weight room, but I digress.
We'll worry about that later. We all need to hit the weight room. King Tommen and High Sparrow meeting in the Red Keep, and then he says, you want to talk to Marjorie, who's been in, you know, captivity this whole time? He gets to talk to Marjorie, does King Tommen. And Marjorie, who's about to take her walk of atonement, can we get the shame bell out? Can we get a little shaming for Marjorie? She's, by the way, she wouldn't take this walk, but I love the bell so much, I want to hear it. Marjorie's about to take her walk of shame, but Tommen goes and speaks with her. And she's sold on religion. At least that's the way she's playing it.
Right.
That's the way she plays it to Tommen. And it's probably a good thing because in the meantime, this prevents a huge brawl breaking out between the Holy Army and the Army of the House Tyrell right before her scheduled Walk of Atonement.
Shame.
Oh.
Shame. Shame.
The real shame. Is that we get no nudity in this whatsoever.
Say, yeah,
well, come on!
Jamie, butt out!
There is no Walk of Atonement, and the surprise is the king comes out, and it seems like a peace has been struck, but with a High Sparrow definitely taking the upper hand for now. Even cool Grandma Tyrell says, we lost for now. War is totally coming here. Something is about to pop off. Jamie, by the way, is going to be leaving King's Landing to go fight at River Run.
Uh-oh.
What's going on with River Run, you say? Well, Walder Frey. Hello again, old friend. Walder Frey is angry. His soldiers have lost River Run to Blackfish. He demands the men return and take it back using Edmure. We have a reoccurring character for the first time in a long time as the bait. Another character returns after an extended season absence. Lord Edmure Tully, who was taken into captivity at the Red Wedding. He is in play once again. He is there. Walder Frey, we haven't seen him since the Red Wedding. So this is all interesting coming back into play characters.
He hasn't gotten a haircut since the Red Wedding.
He hasn't, but he wasn't slaughtered, so advantage him, right? Arya, meanwhile, she's supposed to kill the actress playing Cersei in the play about her own family's rise and fall. By the way, the play within the show is kind of cool. The way that they handled the play within the episode is really, really good. It's like a recap of this first couple of seasons. The show itself handles this all very, very well. So she puts the poison in the cup of the actress she's supposed to assassinate. But then, of course, as like a little heart to heart with the woman, decides not to kill her after all. She slaps the cup of poison away, points out who actually did it, and it was the actress with a really hot rack from the episode before, and leaves. The faceless man, obviously, the faceless, many-named god, whatever, the many-faced god, is not going to be pleased with all this. Little skater henchman girl sees it all, reports back, and he basically says, all right, well, you know, if she's not going to finish her assassination training, this is the second time we've assigned her something, and she changed her mind at the end, she got to go.
Just don't make her suffer.
Don't make her suffer. Aria, however, and I don't know why she gave up on this. Maybe it was because she saw the play and was inspired to go back and, you know, fight for the family business, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes and gets Needle, her little sword that she buried. And we'll see what happens. It looks like her and Skater Girl Henchman Chick are about to throw down in some sort of way.
Skater Girl's minus 250, by the way, in that fight.
Thank you very much. Yeah, well, you know, Skater Girl had a really weak regular season and kind of had a rough, you know, an easier go of it. Well, Arya's been taking out the Thunder.
It's a great point.
I think I'm getting my topics mixed up.
I'm with you, though.
Let's go to the big rally ending hall pep rally with a dragon finale. We get Daenerys wandering the desert a week away from Meereen, hanging out, walking. You're a conqueror, Daenerys Stormborn, says her buddy there. And basically, for the first time ever, she has an idea that doesn't get her, like, kidnapped or taken or stolen or assassinated or burnt or something forever. She's like, hold on, everybody. Even though I got an army with me, I'm going to go up around the bend all by myself. No advanced scouting. Trust me on this one. Well, we know why she feels so good about it. Around the bend is Drogon the dragon, who is three times as big as we've seen him in previous episode. He's a monster. She gets on the back, does a victory lap, lands, and then just basically swoops down and holds a pep rally about riding wooden horses across the salt sea. All the Dothraki are fired up. Fade to black. That was the episode.
It was like Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday. We fight for that inch.
Every inch around us. I will have a fire-breathing dragon at every inch.
She's pretty good.
She was fighting for inches. She goes full Pacino. What didn't I like about this episode? Well, you got no Theon, no Tyrion, no Jon Snow, no Sansa, no Onion Knight, no Baelish, no Red Witch. All my favorite characters, basically, were left out of this one so we could get in touch with all these other characters and old characters brought back into the mix and the fold and so on and so forth. There really is just too much going on now in this series. All episodes need to be 90 minutes. Can we get more?
I know.
Can we either need to have less slow, dramatic scenes and just like chop, chop through it. Let's go. Let's go. Or we need longer episodes. What we do get, though, are key players all positioning themselves for battle. Things are about to pop off, Dan, in Westeros.
Well, you've got, they got a Starks trying to get their little home back from, what's-his-face, Ramsay, the butcher.
Yeah.
But Ramsay's got the Starks' little brother. And Bran's going to get his third eye action into play here pretty soon.
He's like the third eye blind. He's got a hit or two he's about to release.
My takeaway, dragon glass in the heart is like emergency. It'll cure you real quick.
It does cure you. We might have now learned how you cure a White Walker. Little dragon glass.
Right in the heart.
Right to the corazon.
Yes!
Yells! It's a downtown! Clay Thompson with a dragon glass!
Yes!
By the way, you either really appreciated this segment or you hate it with your full heart that doesn't have any dragon glass in it. Ethan Sherwood Strauss. No dragon glass, but he wears glasses. He's been watching the Warriors through them all year. And he joins me next here on 95.7 The Game. Good post Game of Thrones, everyone. Nice job.
Show. On 95.7
Winter's
The Game.
Time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.